Let's pray as we come to that word of God. Heavenly Father, every word of yours is worth so much of our time to turn over, to think upon, to meditate over. And this word is no exception. As David writes that so many thousand years ago, it still has application for us this evening. And we ask that you would cause us to think carefully upon it, and that you would help us to apply it into our lives. And by your grace, would you make us people who commit our lives, our spirits, into your hands? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the reign of Mary the First saw many martyrs in England. One of those martyrs was a guy by the name of Roland Taylor, who died in 1555. After spending 2 years in prison, he was sentenced to be burned at the stake for saying, effectively, that Jesus' death alone was the cause of our salvation. In other words, he believed the Bible. John Fox was a historian who wrote about him, and I'd like to quote three sections. He wrote a lot about this guy, but I'd like to quote three sections of his writing. First of all, he says, "All the way to his death, Dr. Taylor was joyful and merry, as one that accounted himself going to a most pleasant banquet or a wedding. He said many notable things to the sheriff and to the guard that conducted him, and often moved them to weep through his much earnest calling upon them to repent and to amend their evil and wicked living. Oftentimes he also caused them to wonder and rejoice to see him so constant and steadfast, void of all fear, joyful in heart, and glad to die." Then again, "Coming within 2 miles of Hadley, the place where he was to die, he desired, Dr. Taylor desired to get off his horse, which, once he had done, he leaped and began dancing. 'Why, Master Doctor,' said the sheriff, 'how are you now?' He answered, 'Well, God be praised, good master, never better, for now I know I am almost at home. I have no more than 2 stiles to go over, and I am even at my father's house.' Then again, 'At the last they set the fire, and Dr. Taylor, holding up both his hands, called upon God and said, "Merciful Father of Heaven, for Jesus Christ my Saviour's sake, receive my soul into thy hands." So stood he, without either crying or moving, with his hands folded together." The question comes very clearly, doesn't it? How do you die like that? What makes a person go to his death in that kind of a way, with those kinds of words on his lips? So peaceful, not crying or moving, with his hands folded together in peace. Well, the answer is very clearly here in this psalm. That is, if we are ever to hope to die in that kind of a manner, and if we are Christians, and I'm sure that just that picture of how he died is attractive to us, if we are to die like that, then it must be that we live before the point of our death completely committed to God ourselves, so that our automatic last words are those committing our souls to God. This verse and the first section of this verse is what we're going to spend our time looking at, and we're going to interrogate this little sentence with three questions. Three little questions. What, when, and why? Firstly, what? What is it to commit a spirit to God's hands? Well, it's a good question, isn't it? I hope you think it's a good question, because, of course, we can't commit our souls, our spirits, to God's hands unless we know what it is to do so. There are three words here which I think help us, if we think about these three words, will help us to understand what it is to commit our souls to God. Firstly, commit. Secondly, spirit. And thirdly, God's hand. So, commit. What do we mean by committing? Well, the word commit in English has lots of meanings, and one thing it doesn't mean is merely a promise. When I married Rachel, I committed myself to her. I promised to be her husband and to love her through whatever situation we had. But to commit is not just to make a promise. It means more than that. It means to hand over to. It means to put in the power of somebody else, something which is our own. I might say, I've committed, I don't have my keys with me or my phone with me, I've committed them into Rachel's safekeeping. For various reasons, I don't think it's particularly clever to carry my phone up here, so Rachel has it. I have committed it into her safekeeping, and I hope that when I get down, it will still be safe and in her safekeeping. Commitment to God, or committing ourselves or our souls to God, it's a prayer. When we commit, and where David says he commits himself to God, he is praying and giving everything into God's power, into God's hand. He is relinquishing his own claim on it. He says he's committing it to God, and therefore he lets go. Much as I do when if I was to physically take my phone and put it in Rachel's hands, it involves me first let going of the phone, and second, putting it in Rachel's hand. So it's two actions. It's letting go myself and putting it into God's hand. There are plenty of people, and perhaps you're one of those today, who have merely lent themselves to God. They might say in their heads, well, God can have my Sunday. God could have a midweek meeting, perhaps. But I have my own things to do too, and those things need to fit in with God and the things that God has me to do. And so they haven't placed their lives entirely into God's hands, and they aren't committed. And so I do need to say very clearly that if you are here and you would call yourself a Christian, as I do myself, that in itself doesn't mean that you are committed fully to God's hand. You haven't necessarily put yourself all in his power. And I can give you two questions which would help you to understand if there are ways in which perhaps you're not committed. And the first question is this. Is there anything in your life, perhaps think over your life, is there anything in your life which, if God took it away tonight, you would consider it unfair or unjust? Is there anything in your life which, if God took it away today, you would consider it unfair or unjust of God to do? And the second question, do you direct your own life? Do you decide what it is that you do, what it is that you'll spend your life doing, or are you guided by what you are convinced the scriptures tell you must do, convinced by what God says you should do, that's how your life is guided? So what is it? Well, commitment, then spirit. What does David mean here? He says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And what does he mean by that word, spirit? Well, I think, helpfully, I think we could use the word soul instead. Soul and spirit are very much interchangeable in the Bible. And by soul or spirit, we mean our inner self. If you know anything of the Psalms, if you read through the Psalms, then you'll know that for David, his spirit is, it's not just that part